Wednesday afternoon, Lady Shir and Shara Avodas Elokim. It's Wednesday, Tes Cheshvan, something like that. No, Ches Cheshvan, sorry about that. The first year of Tavshin Ayin Vav, in Shara Avodas Elokim. Wednesday, Ches Cheshvan. So we're doing Shara Avodas Elokim. We're in which is the third shiur. We're in the fifth perek, and at some point we're going to start from the beginning of the dialogue between the seichel and the nefesh. So if you have a text, you can see that. I don't know how they set it up. How the people set it up. The printer, the publisher. But it's a dialogue between the seichel and the nefesh. And it really sums up, Shara Avodas Elokim is not as exciting maybe as Shara Bitachon, because, you know, what's it going to get us to do already? You know, we're from, we try to be from. Not a bad job. Like, Bitachon is a thing. But Shara Avodas Elokim, but the answer is, of course, that he has these major principles of Shara Avodas Elokim, that our Avodas Hashem, which is our lives, our careers, our lives, that's what we're doing with our lives. That's what we're doing. That's the primary thing we're doing with our lives. So, you learn Shara Avodas Elokim, it's like exciting, it makes it more meaningful, it makes it more interesting, more real. That his whole point is that you're not doing it because someone's holding a gun to your head or promising you a reward if you're a good little boy or girl, but it's something that comes from within us. It should come from within us. If we're normal people and we think about things, then we would want to do this. You wake up in the morning, you say, Moldani l'shanecha, and like, you're excited, and you don't get bored. You don't get bored with mitzvahs, you don't get bored with aveiros, so to speak. Meaning, you don't feel pressured. The Sforum, the books that talk about the Hof de Derech people, or really anybody that's Nisrashel in Torah and mitzvahs, which could be anybody, even ostensibly from, it's always, it's like a schmack, right? So say, oh, make Shabbos table geschmack, and make your this geschmack, and give them a geschmack, because people will gravitate to what's geschmack. Certainly nowadays, people will gravitate to what's geschmack, because the whole culture for the last 60, 70, 80 years is to do what's geschmack. The whole system is that. So, but the Chavis HaLovos was first. Makdim Refuah L'Macha. And I'm saying, even though Shara Avodas Elokim doesn't seem to be so exciting, and it's not teaching us anything new, but it really is. It makes Avodas Hashem Gishman. The problem is we don't think about Shara HaBechina, and we don't look at mitzvahs and haveros, meaning Ratzon Hashem. We don't look at it from the perspective of the Chavis HaLovos. So it could become drudgery, or it just becomes lifeless, like no life. If people would have lived the Chavis HaLovos, the Shara Avodas Elokim, there wouldn't have been a need for a Chassidus movement. Because that was the problem. It was becoming like either rote or lifeless, no simcha, just, you know. But the Chavis HaLovos, you can't live like that if you follow his... If you follow Shara Avodas Elokim, if you live Shara Avodas Elokim, you will have a geshmak in following Torah, whether it's a lav or an asay or a lav. You will feel that you're in some small way saying thank you for the greatest of pleasures imaginable from Hashem. And so that's one accomplishment that's what Shara Avodas Elokim does for our lives if we follow it. And the other thing is that it extrapolates and it says, you know, the mitzvahs, they're okay, you know, but we have to extrapolate. They teach values, they teach principles, they teach ideas, they teach concepts, and then the sky's the limit. You're not limited to talking about Yitzhak Mitzrayim for those 5 hours on the 15th night of Nisan. You're not limited to thanking Hashem for providing you with sustenance when you're mafresh challah. The mitzvahs are stepping stones to, that's what Ora Torah is, they're stepping stones to Arun of Sichlis, and then the sky's the limit. 24/7, everything you do can be extrapolated from the mitzvah. So that's the second accomplishment. Again, Shabbat is Elokim, like, what am I gaining out of it? The mitzvahs, mitzvahs. No, it gives you chiyus, it should. If we follow it, it should give us chiyus, and it should expand, it should permeate the whole day because of this yisod of his, that the ikker, and he's not ashamed to say it, the ikker is ha'ara sichlis, which means inspiration, but mind motivated, rational motivated, extrapolating the Ora Toronis, which is the obedience aspect of Torah, which is the 613, we'll call it. That's obedience. And then you extrapolate the values, the principles, the hashkafa, everything. So this is Cholos HaLevavos. This is deep. If we live spiritually superficial lives, and then like your eyes glaze over, you know, Kogel is talking about, what does he want from me? And I try to remember to make a bracha achrona after I drink something, you know, I do my best, and I try to daven when I can, like, we're like, I always felt that the industrial evolution, like going away from the birth and the natural working the earth and seeing it grow, and natural medicine and natural everything, moving away from that, and now everything's like mathematical, and everything's like even like kazayas of matzah, so I don't know how much is a kazayas, and how many ounces and how many grams, and like it becomes very mechanical, which is good if you know it's better than doing a virus, but it's not. Yeah, it's very far from the Chavis HaLovus' idea of an Oved Hashem. An Oved Hashem is a Rosichlis, to extrapolate from the mitzvah's values. How do you do that? I keep saying, learn Chinuch. That's the easiest way. It's the simplest way. It's a basic way. It's not fancy stuff. It's not, you're not learning Torah Or. You know, you're not learning Torah Or. You're learning Chinuch. It's like basic stuff. Okay, so having said all of this, we're up to the dialogue between the Nefesh and the Seichel, and it really just reiterates everything I just said. It goes over the principles that he learned, but it gives insight into why is this so hard for a person to do? What stops me from doing this? Why don't I, if someone does me a favor, why do I recognize it, and why don't I see what Hashem does for me? Why is it so hard? So that's what this dialogue is. It's interesting. This is the Das Tvunus Ramchal, which I said maybe we're going to learn, also has this dialogue, but it's a different dialogue. That's the words. He has a dialogue between the Seichel and the Neshama. That the Neshama is spiritually troubled by things. Spiritually troubled by things. The Neshama is spiritually troubled. And the Seichel rationally addresses what the neshama is troubled by and tries to make sense of it and give a system. That's what the Ramchal did. Chagalovus is talking about the nefesh and the seichel. I'm not sure if the words reflect what I'm saying. The nefesh, neshama, they use many times interchangeably. I'm not giving a hard and fast definition. But it's clear from Chagalovus that he's talking about a dialogue between the Seichel not answering questions, But the nefesh, as he calls it, is a person's personality and a person's emotional state. You know, there was a couple of years when everybody wanted to know your emotional quotient, right? IQ, and then there was EQ. Now it's XQ. It's a new thing now. The new thing now. Don't know what's going on in the world. Now it's XQ. XQ means who knows what it is. That's why it's called X. That's an X. No. And now you want a job, and many in America, I don't know what's going on in Israel, but in America you go for a job and they ask you all sorts of questions about, you know, and they run through a computer and you score high, you score low. You know, who do you like better, your father or your mother? You know, like all kinds of questions. And that's called XQ. They went to IQ and then EQ. Anyway, the nefesh is the seat of EQ, of the emotional core of a person, person's personality. So the nefesh has to be corralled into serving Hashem. So the seichel is just telling it what it needs to do. In the Ramchal, Das Tvunos, it's a dialogue between the seichel and the neshama. It's sort of a debate. It's like the neshama has certain questions, and the seichel is answering those questions. Here, it's the seichel is talking to the nefesh and saying, "This is how you're going to shape up," because it's Chovas HaLevavos. So we want to serve Hashem with our lave, with our emotions. We want to feel kniya to Hashem. We want to feel like Avdei Hashem, which he discusses at length in Shaar HaKniya. But the goal is, I want to feel that I am indebted to Hashem. So how do I feel that way? I got to tell you the truth. I don't feel that way. That's what my Yorma LaNefesh, so we're starting this dialogue. Do you have clear that you are indebted to Hashem? Chavula, poetically, you're tied the Torah's borech, uknuya berov chasodav, osem chanosav, with the many kindnesses that he does for you. And I'm not going to chazer over the whole Shaar HaBchina now. But we're talking about life. We're not even talking about life. We're talking about existence. Life is already, because you could have been a rock. A rock is not alive. We're talking about existence, the very fact that I exist. Thank you, Hashem. And then you have a life. And then, down the whole line, and then the whole Shaar HaBechina. So, do you have this clear? Now, you can't have it clear if you don't learn Shaar HaBechina. If you don't think about Shaar HaBechina, if you never stop to think what Hashem does for us, this is the problem. So, do you have this clear? And even if you have it clear, because we've all read Shaar HaBechina, but do we feel it? This is what it's asking the neshama. You know, the seichel could know it. Do I have a feeling of gratitude to Hashem? Or I say Me'mudani and let's get on with the day. Right? But Tomer can't. So the Nefesh says yes. Amala Seichel, okay. When people feel grateful, they feel a debt of gratitude. They want to pay that debt of gratitude. They say, what can I do to show my appreciation, to acknowledge what I owe you? Again, we've all experienced this. People come to me for a meal, Shabbos, they feel like they got to bring along a bottle of wine. Please, no. I say, you know, if you move into my house for 6 months, you can bring me a bottle of wine. You're coming for a meal, come on. So, but sometimes I forget to say, and then they bring the bottle of wine. And then I'm like, sure, what do I do? And now I'm waiting for you to drink it. So if you're claiming you feel that way, okay, so are you going to repay Hashem for that? Because that is the whole system of the Chayut HaLevavos. That's how Hashem structured mitzvahs, according to the Chayut HaLevavos, as a payback for the debt of gratitude we feel. And we talked at length about why that's such a beautiful perfect system that makes a person feel fulfilled and happy and not compelled and coerced and, you know, duty bound to do something. You want to do it. So that's the beauty of the system. Omer Nefesh came. So, you know, okay. We say, Mo Ashiv Lashem Kol Tagmulohi Aloi. How can... And again, it's not talking about when things are going good. It's talking about life. It's talking about lungs. It's talking about digestion. It's talking about gravity. It's talking about trees. It's talking about flowers. It's talking about going to the store and buying food. It's talking about everything. Amala Seichel, you're lying to me. Talking about, so how can you say in Rishon Kosech a love? The weakness of your longing to be with Hashem, to do for Hashem, to bond with Hashem, in other words, again, I go back to my mashal, everyday life. Someone would pay to find me a job, find me a shidduch, you know, give me an eitzah. If someone doesn't have children, they give them an eitzah. You walk around and you're like, you feel like, like you're obsessed with the idea of paying them back, and you want to. So you're not walking around like that. You're not walking around, what can I do for Hashem? What can I do for Hashem? So, you know, if you really felt what you claimed to have felt, and that means the whole Shara HaBechina, plus, Shara HaBechina is very limited. First of all, it's limited by the knowledge of the Chayim Tov Lovos 1,000 years ago, and we're like way beyond that, way beyond. Second of all, it's basically limited to biology, and there's like six other disciplines that he mentions. And he doesn't... I think the first three or four of the 30 in Shaar Cheshbon HaNefesh are like the realization of what we owe Hashem. Anyway, he's saying, if it's true, then you should be... Why is your longing to fulfill the Ratzon Hashem, your longing to be Dovek Hashem, Why is it so weak? So, Veinenu, Omala Asef, Veichi Tochin Lovze, and Bifrio Kosvechalov. Veinenu Solvel Merirus Harifua, Elamishu Nixaf Labrius. He says, I am going to tell you how to feel this way, what things you have to get rid of, but it's going to be bitter a little. It's going to be bitter because. Meaning it's hard. It's not bitter. It's gishmak. So what does it mean by bitter? It means it takes work. And nowadays, you know, work is bitter. We want to take it easy. We don't want to... Effort. It takes effort. You have to overcome things. You have to think about things. So that's what he means by bitterness, papashtus. Because the truth is, his whole point is that it's gishmak once you break through. But you're not going to want to take the effort to do it unless you long for good health, right? When I'm on a diet, I want to eat healthy. So we'll call that bitter because I can't have foods that are tasty, even though they're not good for me, but they're tasty. So I won't want to put myself on that regimen unless I have a burning desire. A stronger desire to be healthy. So you're not going to want to go through the regimen I put you on, says the Seichel to the Nefesh, unless you have this longing for Hashem. And I don't see it. I don't see this longing for Hashem. Avol mi she'eino nichsef l'brius, if you're not longings, nichsof nichsafta l'leis avicha, right? You long to go home to your parents' house. You don't want to take the medicine. And again, it's interesting, the medicine is not bitter once you take it. Once you take the medicine, it's gishmak, and you feel fulfilled, and you feel happy, and you feel proud and happy and content. But it's effort. That's the pshat. It's effort. Omra nefesh. What do you want from me? You're a teenager. Never just a teenager. Kospi chazak. I don't know what. My desire, my longing is wrong. I don't know why you're accusing me of all these things. The tsari gadol lefroa mimashatasig yodi, and I mamish want to acknowledge Hashem and pay him back. Mimashiyesh lo kayolai. So tell me what to do. The longing is there. I'm telling you, the longing is there. Abul Asechel, in Tomri Emes Kashesi part. Okay, you know, I can't read your mind, says the Seichel. We know what we desire, what we want. I can remember, and I shouldn't admit this publicly, I'll deny it, but I can't. I could remember the times in my life that I couldn't wait till the next davening. In other words, I'm a good boy. I daven three times a day, most of the time. But like after Shacharis, I can't wait till Mincha. After Mincha, I can't wait till Maariv. So now, you get a little old and you say, I can really daven to Hashem the whole day. I don't have to wait for Shmona Esrei. But Shmona Esrei is a very special experience. It, you know, you can talk to Hashem when you're doing anything, when you're walking in the street, and you talk. But there is still a higher state of consciousness of Hashem. Omeid lefnei hamelech. That's a technical thing that Shmona Esrei has that you don't have when you talk to Hashem. It's good, and you know, it adds awareness to Hashem and everything, but you're there and you're saying Atah, and you're bowing down and you're using the words of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. It's a special experience. After Shabbat, saying, oh man, it's 4 hours till Mincha, I can't wait. So I had things in my life, and I can count them on the fingers of Haman Octopus. But I can remember things in my life that I couldn't wait till the next Shmona Esrei. And that's what Chagalos is talking about now. You know, if you really, you know, if you desire to do mitzvahs on that level, right? It's not always I can't wait, and I can't wait till Pesach. But it's, you know, you desire to, you feel. The burden in the Chagos Halalos' world is not the burden of a gun to your head. It's the burden when someone did you the biggest favor in the world and you didn't yet buy them a gift. You didn't write them a card yet. You didn't show your appreciation yet. You're like, I have to sit down and then write them a letter. I have to show that I acknowledge it, that I appreciate it, that I'm machshiv what they did, that I understand that it wasn't easy for them. Like, there's so many angles, and you want to express that, and that burden is a geschmacka burden. That's not a burden of a gun to your head. It's not even the burden of a reward that you want, like the carrot, you know, in front of the horse. It's something in your neshama, in your DNA, in you, that you, the compel is a, isn't the beauty of the Chagos system. It's an inner compulsion. No one's forcing you but yourself. Hashem, of course, created us with the desire of Hakaras HaTov, with the desire to pay debts of gratitude, to feel debts of gratitude. All that does is complicate things, because now we have to thank Hashem for that also. But this is why we feel, that's what Chazal loves, if you remember, way back when, that's what he spends his Hakadama to Sharif HaMazal. He goes through a child has appreciation of his parents, Evan has to the Adon, a borrower has to the lender. He goes through five relationships of Hakaras HaTov, and then he says they're all like a joke compared to what we have to feel to Hashem. But those relationships are natural feelings, but Hashem instilled that in us. Hashem instilled it in us because Chavdalos is correct. He instilled in us so that we can be over the Hashem. Now, Hashem created a person with this. He created animals that way too, Yeshaya says. Yadashar Koneu Vachamor Evuspa Olov. Yisrael Lo Yeda Amilo Hisponon, right? Supposed to be in Yeshaya. Animals develop a feeling of Hakaras HaTov to the people who take care of them. Akoponim, he says, if, so you know, like, you know, if it's you know, nobody's testing you and no one knows and it's called the Salavavos, but you know when you want to do something and you can't wait to do it and you feel a longing to do it and you feel like a relief when you did it, not the relief of having potted up something you had to do, but a relief of you put the two things together, it fits, the world is now complete, you have expressed your appreciation. So the nefesh says, listen, tos b'chazak v'tzari godol l'froa ma'shatatsin yodi m'mashiyesh l'loke elai but v'ato zori zosi yod, like, give me a mahalach. What am I still doing, right? Go buy a Hallmark card for Hashem. Like, well, what do you want me to do? Help me out. Help me. Amar Seichel. Okay. Because he already said, if you don't have it, you're not going to go through the program of the effort that it takes. Because if you tell someone, I want you to spend a half hour a day. Who has a half hour a day? What do you mean, who has? This is the primary thing we should be doing. I mean, I'm afraid to tell a guy to close his Gemara and read a science encyclopedia and to develop Shar HaBechina appreciation, but, you know, we really should. We should. Okay, Terrence, we don't have time because we're, you know, how many. It's hard. It's hard to say. And there are people in the shul that do it. I'm aware. I'm not going to say if I do or not. None of your business. But, so the Seichel says, if you don't have it, it's not going to work. I have to talk politics now. I'm sorry. If Medina Sassol does not do what it's supposed to do, nothing's going to help. I've said it 1,000 times. I'll say it again. So, if you don't feel this tremendous desire, you're not going to want to take the effort to do what has to be done. I'm telling you now. So if you're telling me you feel it, good, we have a chance. But don't come running to me, hey, it doesn't work. It's going to work, but only you know if you really feel that way. And nothing's going to help if you don't feel that way. So that's what it says. In Tomri Anaskashetsi Parat, Efshashatatliyat Boch Rafua. We should make a play. Not we, obviously, but you make a play with this dialogue. It would be fun. In Eina Emeth Kasera Marg, but if it's not true, if you don't feel this desire, Lama Tafati Nafshe. What do you mean? You go to a doctor, Kiachol, the doctor says, does your head hurt you? No. But it does hurt you. So he's going to give you pills. I'm like, well, who are you fooling when you fool the doctor? And people lie to the doctor, right? But who are they fooling? You're not fooling. The doctor doesn't care. He's billing you anyway, man. He doesn't care. He's sending you a bill. It's so foolish, but people do. So he's saying, Acholet, he finished, be clear. Acholet, Shumachazet, Lerofe, Enamone, it means he's fooling. I'm not sure what the root of the word is. Enamone, Kiyamatsmo. I'm fooling the doctor. Hey, I fooled the doctor, you know. Yeah, I said my stomach hurts and really my foot hurts. Like, boy, I showed him who's the boss. He's just wasting the doctor's time. He doesn't really care that much because he's billing you anyway. You're just going to get sicker. So when you tell me, guide me, but I really have this longing, I am telling you now that if you don't really have it, we're wasting our time. We're wasting our time. All the musr I give you, and all the beautiful words I tell you, and all the mashalom I give you, and you're going to nod your head, and you're going to take note. and it's not going to work if you really don't feel this. So how do you feel it? So he's going to tell them how, but certainly you have to learn Shar HaBechina, or at least think about it if you don't learn it. You have to realize that every word I utter is just billions of things going on in my brain to pick the right words, and then there's the vocal cords, and then there's the sound waves, and it's like utterly, utterly amazing. So, Umrah Nefesh, okay, so the Nefesh takes a step back. And let's take a lie detector test here. How do I know? Now I'm afraid I'm fooling myself. So I say, you know, if you can't wait for the next davening, maybe. But he says, Amar Nevesh, Ve'ech Yehi Meni Akosef Lo Oruf Yobal. The Nevesh wants to know if it's being truthful, but we didn't even start yet, remember. The Seichel is scaring the Nevesh, that nothing is going to work unless you really feel that way. So how do I know? How do I know if I'm paying lip service or if I'm insincere? Can you help me figure out if I really feel that way? Amala Seichel. He says, use your Seichel. It's then essentially, if you learn Shara B'china, if you think about these things, and Mia Kosmichlo, if you say you feel a desire. So if you wake up in the morning and say, oh Hashem, I love you, oh man, that's not it. That's not it. Even if you do it in the Jerusalem forest. It's not it. After you study and think about all the things that Hashem does, then maybe. In Mia Kosmechlo, if you're longing to acknowledge Hashem, to thank Hashem, to do His will, to be close to Him, to be Dovek Hashem, to live with Hashem. If it's Achar Yediya Barura Be'otim Mashadechlo Lekim, if you have a clear, rational, and your mind explodes when you start studying these things, because this ain't Sof. Because if the Chayim HaLova said about Shara HaBechina that he wrote, that it's a Tipa Shebiyam, and all he wrote about basically was biology, although he touched on other subjects too, and it was 1,000 years ago, can you imagine? So he says, it's only going to be real if you think, so you can't study the whole Shara HaBechina a whole day, every day. And he says, think about it a little, if you have a clear yediyah, yediyah seichel, if you have a clear yediyah what you owe Hashem, all that He has done for you, min hagmul, umiyud, and you feel that this is really the subject of kniyah, which he devotes a whole shara to, where you say, mo hashiv l'Hashem kol tagmulo v'yolai, I feel so humbled and so small, and I feel so ridiculous, like how can I ever repay, especially when you, how can I ever repay Hashem? Especially that, and then you really get a headache if you start thinking about that anything you do is only thanks to Him, because my body is only going to work, my mind is only going to work, I can only read because Hashem's enabling me to read. So like anything I do just keeps adding to the debt of gratitude. So you say it's a no-win situation. Yes, it is a no-win situation. You can never catch up. And that's why you develop kenia. Kenia means humility, humbleness, submissiveness. You feel small. And the Chayim HaLova says, if I have to define Avodas Hashem in one word, this is what he said before, earlier in the Shahar, if you give me one word, it's kenia, which he will devote a whole shahr to. He says that's Avodas Hashem, to feel small, to feel that debt of gratitude, and to feel Mo'ashim Hashem Tokem Lo Yolai. That's like that's the human condition. That's what you're going to feel. So Avodas Seichel. So if you have a yediyah of what Hashem does for you. You go outside, you have a flat tire, you're like, oh man, Hashem is so mean. Right? Or you missed the bus. That's what he said in the Hagdoma to Shara Bechina. He said the reason Bechina is so hard is because we focus on the problems of life and we forget 99% of our lives. Right? We forget 99% of what's going on because we focus on the problems, but really the problems are, I don't want to be trite, they're opportunities, and they're opportunities for growth, and that's why I'm in the world in the first place, to overcome those obstacles. So I really, Otcha Hashem ki anafta bi, because that's, if I wouldn't have these sorrows, maybe I wouldn't exist. Because maybe I'm here to overcome those sorrows. Wow, what a thought. So you say, thank you Hashem. Old Chashan can have to be. That's what it says. Anyway, she says, "Umiut, Mashem Yesh Bechol Techninenu, And by the way, that's what the Chavis HaLava says. I don't want to depress anybody, but that's what the Chavis HaLava says, that we never deserve Olam HaBa. We never really deserve it, because we can never catch up. So he says, you catch up only, that's why Olam HaBa is a Chesed Hashem. Oh boy, here we go again, right? Yeah. That also is a Chesed Hashem. Right? If you're basically a good person and you try your hardest and you do your best, so you'll get Olam HaBa. No, you don't deserve it, because you can never catch up in thank yous. Right? You tell the Bar Mitzvah, boy, you still have 500 thank you letters to write. And then he says to inspire others to do mitzvahs, to be makar of people, this, then your chusim increase exponentially. That's the other way. And then maybe you could catch up, he says, because imagine, like, you know, I think of Rav Noach Weinberg, like, you know, like, or Shlomo Freifeld, or, like, wow, because all the dairus are assigned to him, like, it's mind-boggling. So that's what the Lord says. It's either Chesed Hashem or increase it exponentially by doing for others in Ruchnius. Okay, but again, that follows logically from what he's saying, you know, from this Kniya, that how can I marshal Hashem called Tagnohi Olai? Okay, this is hard, this is work. And we're happy if we don't complain when not pleasant things happen. Like, and it's true, this is the mandrega we aspire to, we hope for this. I mean, halavai we would have more shibboleth and more light, but you know, we hope that when we have problems and troubles, we hope, you know, that we don't lash out at Hashem, or we don't even think that he's so mean. Anyway, that's a different subject, really. I shouldn't mix it in. If you have a yediyah, he says, don't get all emotional with me, and don't tell Hashem how much you love him, and unless you have a clear yediyah. This is rational seichel. He's telling the nefesh, you have to have a clear understanding of what Hashem does for you. And if you don't, so go study. Go open a science book and study it. Right? But it ain't sof. It ain't sof. Because you can spend the rest of your life studying the human eye. The rest of your life. For sure. And if you neglect this debt of gratitude, this is like even tougher. Because yes, we could sit here, we could be learning this, and then, you know, it's like really nice, but I'm not such a big tzaddik. What do you want from me? Leave me alone. And let me just go live my life, and I'll do mitzvahs, and I'll do it. And I'll have to think about gratitude, depth of gratitude. So Hekubo says, not only do you have to know, the Seichel tells the Nefesh, not only do I, before we embark upon the program of really doing it right, but you have to, A, I'll say it in shorthand, you have to know Shara Bechina, okay? And B, you have to feel and understand that if you neglect this is Chiddush Lovus, it's Chiddush. I call it a Chiddush. If you neglect this Mahalach, where you're thankful and you feel a debt of gratitude and you want to repay Hashem and you want to say thank you and you feel Moshav Hashem Tagmo Eloi, if you don't feel that, Mapaltech, you're finished. You're not, it's an amazing statement. You say, well, why? I don't even know what the answer is. I don't know what the answer is. Like, why can't I just, you know, go through life and someone's holding a gun to my head and I do the mitzvahs? I'm not going to go to Gehenna. I'm not going to go to Gehenna. I mean, I can't guarantee you that, by the way. But logically, you know, I love that person who lives a life of mitzvahs, like, and no averus, but he never had the schus of coming to my class as Chavis HaLavus. So like he never thought about, you know, Moda'ani. Okay, he was a fleeting thought, Shazanta B'Nishmasi, and that's it. Doesn't think about it around the rest of the day. But the Chavis HaLavus calls it Mapolaseich. Now, either it means that it doesn't mean Gehenna. I'm serious. It doesn't mean gan. I mean, it can't. It's just, my mind refuses to accept that a person that does mitzvahs his whole life, doesn't do averus, is going to be punished because, I mean, I don't know, obviously, but. So it means you're not, I don't know what it means. It could mean that the chances of you being misrashel in mitzvahs, or like kids go off to derech, is because you have no gishmak in what you do. It could mean that. But obviously that's not universal, so I don't know if he really means that, because it's not a universal thing. Not everybody's in danger of going off the derech if they just do things because they're going to get Gan Eden or they don't want to go to Gehenna. So it must be that you wasted your life, wasted in a sophisticated sense. You sent down here to be old de Hashem. So it'll be this way. The Chavamos probably means it's a tremendous chiddush, an amazing statement. He's saying you chaser something really basic. So you're not going to go to Gehenna, okay? You know, but you're missing something. You could, you know, we want to bond with Hashem, Chamei Pesach. We want Anishamos to be dovek Hashem, lehisanag of Hashem. So the Chavamos is saying that. You know, you want to say, okay, I don't hold like the Chavis Chalos. Okay. Can we learn something else, please? Okay. He's saying you're missing something. Okay, he calls it Mapalosech, which is your ruin.
Right.
Which is, I don't know. I don't know how we could talk so. Well, I said many times in learning Chavis Chalos, he does describe laboratory conditions. You know, if you don't have Bitachon Lashem, he calls it Shituf, like you're doing Avodah Zarah. Which, you know, it really is, but only, like I say, laboratory conditions. But that's what he says. I would just say, it's so, this is the context in which we have to be old Hashem. At least Chavis Chalos hold like that. The context is thank you. That's the context. So if you don't do the context, and you just behave, okay, but you know, you're missing, you took the kishkas out of your life. You know, so when you get your mind, you're not going to, I guess, you know, it won't be Gehenna, but it won't be the bonding that we aspire to. That's what I think Chazalos is saying. I mean, he says it. Uveishtad lusech bo, hatzolosech v'chiyusech. And this is beautiful work. This saves it. Now we can end on a good note. Because he doesn't say you have to succeed totally. He says, uveishtad lusech bo, as your effort, you try. Your diligent effort, you're trying to thank Hashem, to pay this debt of gratitude, so that's going to be your salvation. We try, because to really, really succeed, maybe even partially, might take more than a lifetime of work. It might be beyond our capabilities, you know, so we try, and we do our best. You know, you want to start off. David HaMelech was asking to make 100 brachas a day. That means, besides davening, Esrei. 100 times a day, I'm stopping and thanking Hashem for something. That's a lot. 100 times a day is a lot. But if we just mumble the bracha, because that's the free pass to eat the food, so that's called mapalosech. So at least we could start with 100 brachas. Isn't brachas like the perfect expression of gratitude? So that's it. So right away, you have 100 times a day. The teretz is you have to stop and think. You can't just mumble, even if you say every word. Mumble and eat. Mumble and whatever. Go to the bathroom, you mumble as you're young. Why? I'll do this with Doyen. If we could stop for 2 seconds? I don't think it takes longer than that. To work on feeling grateful. And we're doing it 100 times a day. So, you know, that's a start. Okay.